8 o'clock, thanks for joining us. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Masters is underway. Your leader right now, Hudson Swafford. 2 under. Joining him at 2 under, you have the South Korean golfer, Siwoo Kim. Who do you like to win the Masters? Who are you picking today? Give us your thoughts on that. Text it to us. Call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Thoughts about the Rockies' win last night? Antonio Cincitella, after a dreadful outing against the Dodgers in his first game of the season, was fantastic last night. 8 innings. Did a great job. Hoping to shut out Arizona last night, 8-0. Chris Owings, 2 doubles and a triple last night, but also had a hamstring problem, but he is off to a red-hot start. Well,
running all those bases.
Exactly.
Yeah, my hamstrings would hurt, too.
I might pull something, too, if I did that. Avalanche were awful last night. They've been so good, but last night, Philip Grubauer wasn't very good. They weren't very good as a team last night. Minnesota smokes them 8-3. So if you got some thoughts on any of those things today, text or call us 970-242-1340.
Get these bad losses out of the way now. Like Baylor, right?
Right.
You know, you don't want to go into the playoffs on like, oh, we scored a point in 21 straight games or whatever it is. You know, scuffle now. You don't want to have a 2 or 3 game losing streak in the first round of the playoffs.
It's kind of like the Jamal Murray thing. If now's the time for Jamal Murray, if he's got some knee soreness to be on the bench.
Get all this badness out of the way now.
Exactly. Get it out of the way.
So you can do the parade at the same time. Just Nuggets bus, abs bus. Nuggets bus, abs bus.
That'd be fantastic. That'd be fun. Think they would do that? Think they would? Because I remember NBA's postseason is going to last longer, won't it? Would they wait? I don't think the abs would wait. They're not going to wait. Like, man, we want to celebrate, man. Let's not put the cart before the horse,
though. Do the abs need a parade? They've already had two. It's like, okay, whatever.
Third would be nice, though. Why wouldn't you want a third one? No, let's not put the cart before the horse here. There's still work to be done for both of those teams. All right. We have the odds out on Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, okay.
This comes from PointsBet through Pro Football Talk. The odds are out on what's going to happen with Teddy Bridgewater. Because the Broncos, they're naming, it's linked to Teddy Bridgewater because of George Payton. Because of being in Minnesota when they drafted Teddy Bridgewater, Broncos quarterback situation remains very much in flux.
Also linked to Randall Cunningham, too, by the way. Spent a year in Minnesota.
Or that Dwayne Culpepper guy.
Dwayne
you
Culpepper
about.
And his brother Dante.
His brother Dante. Is that like Chris Paul and his brother in the
Cliff.
And Cliff Paul?
Yep.
Right now, the Panthers are the favorite to keep him at +150. Followed by the Broncos at +250. The Texans at +350. Steelers at +600. Raiders at +800. Falcons also at 800. Dolphins. And then the all at 800. And the Bears and Lions at +1,000.
There's a lot of, teams in there? Like the Dolphins, the Bears, the Lions.
The Texans I get.
Yeah.
The Steelers I get.
The Texans initially are like, well, the shot. And they,
yeah, you know what's going on there. Yeah.
And of course, the Panthers to keep him,
but
everybody else.
But that makes no sense, though. They're why would they keep him? He's not going to stay in Carolina. He has a base salary of $17 million if he's on the team week one. They'll either cut him, most likely try to trade him.
Yeah.
Like we said before, Bridgewater to the Broncos makes sense because of George Payton. And really, the Broncos, problem this deal, the Broncos should be the favorite. At this moment.
Probably, yeah.
I just don't see where he's going to end up staying with Carolina. They went out and they get Darnold. You know, I don't think the Texans are maybe as likely as some people think. We'll see what happens. There's a good chance. We had Cody Rourke with us yesterday, Locked On Broncos podcast. Mm-hmm. He thinks that Deshaun Watson may not play at all in 2021. You know, Tyrod Taylor is now with Houston. Would they bring him in if Deshaun Watson doesn't play this year? I mean, it's a possibility, but they could just say, okay, Tyrod Taylor, and they'll just move forward in this season with Taylor as their quarterback. Pittsburgh, they've got cap problems. Remember, they had to ask Ben Roethlisberger to restructure. Hey, Ben, if you want to stay here, you better redo your deal.
He also was going to make like $41 million, too. Yeah. So that was coming either way.
Yeah, that was going to happen. But they've got cap problems.
Yeah, they do. Bad cap problems.
They're not going to bring in Bridgewater. The Raiders have Derek Carr, and then they just recently renegotiated Marcus Mariota's deal, dramatically cut mm-hmm. his contract down. He wouldn't fit there. Falcons have the same problem, you know, that the Steelers have. They have cap issues.
Well, and they're in a good spot in the draft to where they may not need Bridgewater.
And they've still got Matt Ryan. It's not like they're desperate to bring in Teddy Bridgewater because they have a quarterback problem. Right.
But I mean, it's getting to the time for them that they need to start thinking about something else.
Long-term answer, and maybe Teddy Bridgewater, in their opinion, isn't the long-term answer that they're looking for.
Turns 36 next month, too.
They're sitting at number four right now.
Yeah.
They could end up with a Trey Lance. Maybe it's a Justin Fields. I mean, they're going to be in a good spot to end up with a quarterback if that's what they decide to do. But they're also entertaining maybe trading back. Teams have been calling him. That's a possibility. So it seems unlikely, though, with this thing with Teddy Bridgewater, that that's the place he'll go. And then you have the Dolphins. Well, they just brought in Jacoby Brissett. They're very committed to Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, they traded out of the third spot.
Right.
So with the Niners, so why would they need Bridgewater now? Mm-hmm. They've got young quarterback that they believe in, or at least feels like they believe in now. And then Jacoby Brissett's there to back him up. So
their closer's now in Washington, though. So
yeah, exactly.
You know,
so Miami doesn't make any sense, right? And then the Bears and the Lions. Okay, the Bears have brought in Andy Dalton. Lions have Jared Goff, and it may be very true that they're not exactly in love with Jared Goff. But neither one of those teams seem like they're very likely.
No, but they're
to bring him. To bring him, because they already got their guy for right now.
They're bridge quarterbacks, and how many bridges do you need? You know,
this is not Madison County.
No, exactly. It's not Madison County or, you know, Boston or wherever it has a crap load of bridges. Chicago has.
I just remember that was a bad Eastwood film.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Grandma was very proud of it, though, because that's kind of where she was from. Hey. But I lost my train of thought completely. Thanks.
It's okay.
Teddy Bridgewater, he's a Andy Dalton, Jared Goff type quarterback for teams in the NFL right now. He's not going to be really your long-term answer for some of these teams because everybody's going to look for the quarterback in the draft, a rookie quarterback on the rookie contract so they can build the rest of their team. That's the economics of the NFL right now. And with Bridgewater at $17 million for what you get, that's just not a lot. That's not a lot of production for a lot of cap space.
You know, Pro Football Talk, they mentioned some other ones that tend to make more sense than the Dolphins or the Raiders or the Bears mm-hmm. or the Lions or some of these. San Francisco, yes, they're going to draft quarterback at number three. It most likely will be Mac Jones. At least that's what the prevailing opinion is right now. But if you're not ready to throw him into the fire, you know, year one as a rookie, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is there. And Bridgewater would be cheaper than Garoppolo. And that way, Bridgewater comes in. He is truly the bridge to Mac Jones mm-hmm. being your next quarterback. Or Justin Fields or whoever they end up getting. And Seattle's in a position where they may need Teddy Bridgewater. Because what happens if they decide to trade Russell Wilson? I think the heat on that fire is starting to die down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's still at a simmer, but I don't think it's boiling like it was a month ago.
And then they also, Pro Football Talk, reference the Buccaneers could bring him in to be the backup to Tom Brady because, let's be honest, Brady's going to be 44, stayed healthy, played insanely well last year to lead the Bucs to the Super Bowl.
Right.
But what happens if he goes down with an injury? And it's going to be 3 or 4 games. And you need a Bubby Brister, like going back to the Broncos, Super Bowl 33, a Bubby Brister-like quarterback to come in, keep the ship afloat. Brock Osweiler, Super Bowl 50, to keep the ship afloat until Brady could come back. Blaine Gabbert is there, but Bridgewater would definitely be a far better backup than Blaine Gabbert at this point in time. So they may look at it as if he gets cut, I think the Bucs aren't going to trade for him, but if he gets cut, could make some sense as an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Veteran guy that could keep you going if Brady gets hurt.
But Brady's not a get hurt guy.
He's not.
He's missed 15 games due to injury, and that was one season. And he's missed four due to a suspension.
He's pretty damn durable.
Yeah.
But if
he threw for 4,600 yards last year.
But if you're Bruce Arians, don't you like to make sure you have a good insurance policy in case? Because, once again, I have to bring up.
Yeah, I get.
He's approaching 44 years of age. I like to think at some point that's going to catch up with Dorian Gray. At some point that will. I'm not sure it'll be in 2021. But if you're Arians, you can get Bridgewater for next to nothing. They cut him. Why not have that insurance policy to help you keep the ship floating just in case Brady does get hurt?
Yeah.
If you're cutting him, you're going to pay him basically nothing for being there. So, but you look at all these things, doesn't it scream Denver? All these things we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it scream Broncos that Bridgewater might be the place where he ends up?
Mm-hmm.
Because all these potential suitors, most of them don't make any sense.
Not really.
They don't. And so, in the case of the Broncos, Bridgewater comes in. Bridgewater is that still relatively young quarterback who's had success in this league, that is the veteran guy that, and I don't know what the trade would look like if it's, you know, ends up being a trade, that where that looks like. But for the Broncos, this could be the veteran guy, youngish veteran guy, to come in and put some pressure on Drew Lock.
Right, and see, that's the thing to me that makes the Broncos a likely landing spot is a lot of these other places, it's either going to be a three or four quarterback fight. They already have a entrenched starter. And if Teddy Bridgewater is going to be able to seek a trade to where, you know, he's going to have to fight and maybe not even be the starter, might as well just stay in Carolina at that point and keep all that money that you have guaranteed, because you can just fight with Sam Darnold. If he wants out and he wants a chance to start, Denver makes sense because he can step right in and there's no definitive starter. The day he walks in the door at Dove Valley, you don't have this guy's the starter. There's a straight up competition, and I like his chances. I don't think he goes to Tampa Bay. I don't think he goes to all these places where he is the backup. I don't think he wants to do that. He already did. He did that in New Orleans, and if he wanted to do that, he could have stayed in New Orleans with Drew Brees retiring the next season.
And would have been probably the guy. Would have been the guy in New Orleans. I mean, they won five games when Brees went out with injury, and it could have been his job, but he didn't. He left from there, goes to Carolina, where he thought, okay, now I'm going to be the man to replace Cam Newton. Well, they weren't pleased enough with the performance of the team or himself in 2020. So they made their move to bring in Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, keep an eye on that, because the Broncos certainly, I don't think the Panthers are the favorite to keep Bridgewater. Denver moves to the front of that list. We'll see whether or not George Payton decides to bring in a guy that he drafted when he was with the Minnesota Vikings. All right. Denver, along with having the 9th overall pick, they also have the 40th pick in the draft in the second round, which is a pretty good spot to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Cosmender over at The Athletic, who covers the Broncos, mentioned some names that could be there for the Broncos at 40. Among them is Eric Stokes, cornerback from Georgia. Some think that Stokes might have even, you know, with his pro day and things like that, have maybe playing himself into being a late first round selection. But he could be there. He ran a 4.240 in Georgia's pro day last month.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. And so that could be a player that the Broncos continue to look to add to their depth of the cornerback spot. Stokes could be that guy. We go from cornerback to quarterback. You know, a name that nobody talks about, and I've gushed about Kellen Mond, and I still like Kellen Mond, but a name that nobody's talked about, and he had a sensational season, that's Kyle Trask at Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
Trask completed 69% of his passes, 4,283 yards, 43 touchdowns, 8 picks. And Florida went 8-4. 6'5", 234. If you're looking for that great dual threat quarterback, this is not your guy. He ran a 5.140. And scores in the shuttle and cone drills aren't great. But then again, quarterbacking is not about cone drills and the shuttle drill.
Right.
And how fast you run. If that was the case, Tom Brady would have never won a Super Bowl. It. He will never be would have never been a potential first ballot Hall of Famer. It was based on what his 40 time was. Doesn't have the biggest arm. Many people don't think he's a first round prospect, but certainly playing at a high level delivered very impressive numbers for the University of Florida.
You know, and what we say about Mac Jones is, oh, he played in the SEC, you know, took advantage of the talent around him, but also, you know, played well against what is really the best conference in college football. Kyle Trask did it too.
Absolutely.
And outside of Alabama, which they almost got, they were pretty good at times this year.
Other names he mentions, Walker Little, the offensive tackle from Stanford. Also, Travis Etienne. That'd be an intriguing pick.
Yeah, it
would. To add to the Broncos backfield, the Clemson running back. All right, so I've got some thoughts on who do you think will win the Masters today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. And coming up, Wendy McCaskill, head coach of the Palisade volleyball team in just a moment. But it's time to play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is chance to win a small antipasto salad from Junction Square Pizza, 7th and Main.
Absolutely. I was the first non-American-born Masters winner. 9 of my 24 career wins were majors. And I won the Masters and the Open Championships.
The tournament.
Three times each. Well, that's a tournament also, but a different tournament.
Not the tournament.
I won the Masters and the British 3 times each. Who is it?
Hit it one more time.
First non-American-born Masters winner. 9 of my 24 career wins were majors. And I won the Masters and the British 3 times each.
All right, first correct answer.
Had a career Grand Slam as well, too, by the way.
And on the text line, 970-242-1340. Quick reminder, if you've won the last 2 weeks, you have to sit it out. So text in your answer right now. First correct answer wins at 970-242-1340. Before we take a break, Larry Manchester, Grand Junction Parks and Rec. Larry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Great to see you. Again, another week where we see another month and things are
starting to happen again. Opened up the softball season along with, you know, we have MLB starting last week. Well, this week it's our City League softball. That started Tuesday night out at Canyon View Park, and we got a lot of teams back out there. It's pre-COVID numbers, so it's really good to see the participation right back where it needs to be.
Yeah, roughly how many teams you have playing right now?
Right now we have 67 teams playing on 3 nights.
Fantastic.
Out at Canyon View, and we're really excited about that. We're also getting ready for our preseason tournament that kind of got delayed. Just with some things that happened on some scheduling, but we got a tournament out there this weekend. And if you're a co-ed team wanting to get registered, if you can beat me back to the office, we might take one more team. But they're pretty full out there as well. So we're excited about that. We got a kids track meet coming up. Actually, it's an all ages track meet on April 14th down at Lincoln Park. And that's going to, you know, $5, come out and run some events, have a good time and just enjoy yourself. Great baseball this weekend, CMU. It's their actual homecoming. We didn't do homecoming in the fall for football, so we thought we'd do something a little different. And they're doing a homecoming weekend with a fireworks game Friday night.
And we'll have the game with Metro State on the team CMU Sports Network tomorrow night at 5:45. And that's a big one. Mavericks, number one team in the nation. Metro State playing really well. That'll be a great matchup with those two.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun one. So 6 o'clock.
6:05,
and then fireworks to follow the game on Friday night, and then doubleheader Saturday and another game on Sunday. So there's not lacking any outdoor activities to come out and have some fun. The parks are just packed. The golf courses have been really busy. a lot of fun stuff starting to pick up. I encourage you guys for looking ahead to the summer with the summer camps and the different things we have going on, because they are filling up. So if you need to get your kids registered, please do so. And we have a new activity guide that's going to be coming out the end of the month that's going to list all of our summer activities, from swimming lessons to food truck Fridays to all these great things that we tend to do in normal times.
Food truck Friday is going to be similar to how they normally have been?
It's going to be pretty close, because it's an outdoor event. We can spread them out. We can give them the 6 feet, the social distancing with the lines. Everything that needs to happen to have a regular event is able to do for those. So you can come out and have a beverage and taste some of the great food trucks around the Grand Valley. The first one, I believe, is May 28th down in Lincoln Park.
All right, very good.
Yeah, so it's getting back there.
So nice. Yes. So wonderful. Things are starting to get back to normal. So for the softball tournament, you said co-ed teams?
One. I think I have room for one. If you get in before, I'd say, 10 o'clock this morning. It's going to be getting back there and getting this thing.
And how do they do that? How do they get in touch with you to get in?
To get in touch with us, you can go to our website at gjparksandrec.org. You can give us a call at 254-3866 or stop by 1340 Gunnison Avenue.
All right. And all the information always, of course, at the GJ Parks and Rec website.
Yes. Yeah. GJParksandRec.org.
All right. Very good. Larry, thank you so much. Thanks for coming in. Always great to see you. All right. Larry Manchester, Grand Junction Parks and Rec. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wendy McCaskill, Palisade Volleyball Coach, coming up next on the Jim Davis Show.
Team weather. Sunny and windy today in the Grand Valley. High 74 with potential 25-mile-an-hour gusts. A red flag warning is in effect for Grand Junction, Delta, and Montrose. Overnight, mostly clear, low 38. Sunny Friday, 65. Sunny Saturday, 73.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what? On Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim Davis saying the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Who do you like to win the Masters? Get it into us today. 970-242-1340. Do we have a winner, by the way, for who is it?
We do.
All right. Let's go ahead and find out who wins. Who is it today?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Jimmy correctly identifying Gary Player.
Who we were talking about earlier.
One of the three South Africans to win the Masters tournament. He was the first non-American-born player to win it as well. 1961.
All right. Very
good.
Had
all of his clothes on during the tournament, allegedly.
Congratulations. Yes. Is this Jimmy Giles?
Yes.
The former Tampa Bay Bucks tight end, Jimmy Giles.
Yeah. And now in town, listening to the show. Thanks.
Morning, Jimmy. Thank you.
Morning, Jimmy.
All right. So still time to text in for our Q-double question of the day. Who do you think will win the Masters? 970-242-1340. Joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, she is the coach of the Palisade Volleyball Team, and it's Wendy McCaskill. Wendy, appreciate the time. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Jim?
Doing fine. Good to talk with you. And, boy, your team is playing really well right now. It's been a funky year for everybody in high school sports, playing your sport in a season, a time of the year that you normally don't play, playing in the spring, normally volleyball, a fall sport in the state of Colorado. But your team has responded with all the COVID challenges and the change of season, playing some great, great volleyball, coming off that win over against Eagle Valley, eighth-ranked team in the state in 4A at that time. And you hand Eagle Valley their first loss of the season, a huge win for your volleyball team against the Devils.
Yeah, we were pretty excited. We saw them really early in the season, and as you said, things are different and moving very quickly for us. And it was our first bus trip and over our spring break, and we just really didn't step out and perform on the court. So we didn't really know how we would measure up to them. So it was great to see the girls kind of avenge that loss and show up, and for our level of play to be enough to give them their first loss, like you said. It was a fun match for sure.
Palisade 7-1 overall, 5-1 in the Western Slope League. Wendy McCaskill, coach of the Palisade volleyball team, with us. And Wendy, for you as a coach, I mean, you've been doing this a long time. I've asked a lot of coaches this from the different sports. What's been the biggest challenge in dealing with COVID? Obviously the change of season, we've mentioned that. That's different for everybody. But in terms of some of the protocols, things like that, what have you had to adapt the most to? What have been the biggest challenges for you to coach your team this season?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is just you can plan all you want, but you need to plan for that to change.
Right.
And just to be flexible. And I think that is the biggest challenge that there is. The girls are doing fine with the masks and, you know, any of the disinfecting and cleaning. And like you mentioned, change of season, all of that stuff is pretty, has been easily taken in stride. But it's just the ongoing changes and what you think might happen tomorrow and it doesn't, and then you're rescheduling or whatever the case may be. And I think just learning to be flexible, and I think that's a life skill that not only is volleyball teaching us now, but it will be something we'll definitely have with us forever after this.
Bulldogs volleyball coach Wendy McCaskill with us today on the Team Sports Network. Your kill leader is somebody that you get to sit across the dinner table from on a regular basis. Your daughter Kendall with 142 kills. And I know one of the things that that you've asked her to do this year, you've really asked her to be very versatile, play in all six rotations, play every different spot on the floor. That you've asked her to do an awful lot in the senior season for the Palisade volleyball team.
Yeah, you know, each year I really start with just kind of looking at our personnel and what our strengths and weaknesses may be, and then how I can really put our strengths forward and try to hide those weaknesses the best that I can. So we have a really, we're calling it a creative lineup this year as far as how my players are aligned in the rotation. But it became pretty apparent, I think, that we were going to need Kendall to be a part of our offense as well, and to join in with the other hitters and not just be the one delivering sets. And she's responded very well to that. And I think the team is responding very well because many of them are asked to do several different positions or roles within our lineup. And they're all doing great. And that's one of the nice things about having such an experienced team this year, is that they're able to do that and still be able to focus on playing the game.
Palisade volleyball coach Wendy McCaskill joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And one of those players, too, that allows you to have some flexibility is your sophomore setter, Ella Steele. She's really provided, like I said, some of that that flexibility in your lineup.
Without a doubt. You know, we kind of have been working with Ella since last year, thinking that this might be a direction we might have to go. And certainly, if not this year, we would be looking for her to be a good, be the quarterback of our offense in the next couple of seasons. And so to get her that experience early and for her to be able to deliver balls to the hitters that we have this year, our experienced hitters, I think it's going to be great experience for her and will pay off certainly in the next couple of years as she continues through her career.
And we don't want to leave out the other Ella, Ella Yanowicz, who is your second right now behind your daughter Kendall in kills. Ella Yanowicz has 83 kills on the season. Also, she played really, really well in that victory over Eagle Valley.
Absolutely. Ella's kind of our secret weapon right now. She's kind of little, and but she jumps out of the gym and she can hammer balls, and so teams so far haven't been keying on her, and so it's been great for her to just to be able to give her the ball and let her take care of it, and to have her again just kind of contribute to our team earning points. And so she's definitely been a big part of our offense, and has been just awesome to have see her just grow into her own this year.
Wendy McCaskill, coach of the Palisade volleyball team, 7-1 on the season overall, 5-1 in the Western Slope League, and coming off that victory over then 8th-ranked Eagle Valley. Got Summit on the horizon coming up this Saturday. Actually, that got canceled, didn't it? Didn't that match get canceled because of COVID?
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're talking about, is like don't plan too far ahead.
Right.
So yes, that team is currently in quarantine, and so we won't have that match on Saturday as we had planned. So our schedule's a little bit in flux right now, seeing if we can pick up another game and try to, you know, be able to move some things around and still see if we're able to, but, you know, just get another match under our belts before hopefully the postseason. And so our AD's been working really hard on that for us. And but as of right now, correct, we won't be playing Summit on Saturday.
Still, at least according to Max Preps, which, no offense to the Max Preps folks, not always accurate, but it has you playing Thursday the 15th against Fruita Monument. So Wildcats been playing obviously better lately in the Southwestern League. So that is still on the horizon, a chance to score off against a Valley rival.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we, depending on our league schedule, there's been years we've been able to pick up a couple of the local schools, and then there's been other years that we don't even see them. So it's always exciting to have them on our schedule. I know the girls get really excited for those matches. And so, so we're excited to be able to not have to travel really far and to be right here in town. And the girls will know people across the net from them, and hopefully just to with more spectators being allowed in a gym now too, it should be a really fun environment.
Wendy McCaskill, coach of the Palisade volleyball team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And I know one of the concerns about the state tournament the same weekend as a very big club volleyball tournament here in the state, and I think they've been able to work through some of those things. But it has been a challenge because normally, think of the spring, it's our friend AJ Eagley that listened to the program. He's in charge of the club volleyball program here in town. How much of a challenge has it been with club normally being this time of the year, you're coaching your girls in the fall? How has that worked out as far as the club volleyball season and the varsity volleyball season trying to coexist and move forward?
You know, some of our girls did play club in the fall season. So when CHASA changed to the season C that we're currently in, or D, I don't even remember where we are anymore.
Sure.
They were able to go and participate in the Power Series in Denver in the fall until everything kind of really got closed down. And I think for our athletes, they play club to be better for high school. And so our athletes have opted to put their time and effort right now into the high school season. And so club for us right now is on hold. But it certainly has presented a challenge, especially for those college-bound athletes locally or elsewhere that are trying to get exposure. And it's difficult sometimes to do that, especially here on the Western Slope. And certainly high school season over here versus being able to travel to some big tournaments where, you know, elsewhere in the nation. So I think just trying to be patient. But our girls are fully right now committed to their high school season. And that's where, you know, they are investing their time and effort. And hopefully things will return to normal in the coming year.
We certainly hope so. We're all hoping for that, Wendy.
We all are hoping.
Yeah, keeping our fingers crossed. Now, Wendy McCaskill, Palisade volleyball coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network. One final thing I want to ask you, Wendy, is that I think that sometimes necessity becomes the mother of invention, and sometimes while COVID has been a challenge and it's been something that none of us wanted to go through, we've had to rethink how we approach things. And some of those things have led to some really positive changes. Has there been anything for you as a coach that, okay, well, this is the way we always did it pre-COVID, now we're into COVID and we had to change how we approach a certain thing, whether it's, you know, scheduling, whatever the case may be, that now maybe that's a better way to go? Have you had something like that happen where pre-COVID, this is how we did it, now we did it this way and actually might be better than the way that we did it before? Have you had anything that has popped up like that?
You know, the only thing that I can think of offhand is just that, you know, as coaches, we always tell the players, hey, you don't take anything for granted, and this is time for you to go out and play and to not look past any opponents and to just really seize the moment. And I think that's something that we're generally probably preaching to our players in any normal year. But I think this year it carries a little bit extra weight because we would say, hey, you're guaranteed pretty much 23 matches before postseason. Well, this year the seasons were cut to 14, and you're not even guaranteed those 14, as we saw with our league opponent being quarantined this weekend. And so there's really no guarantees. And so you really need to live in the moment, enjoy the journey, and take advantage of any opportunity that comes your way, because truly, now more than ever, it may not be there tomorrow. And your season, you might be quarantined, and your season might be done when you think you still have a few weeks left. And so just, I think, that lesson again, just that life lesson again of just taking it a day at a time and enjoying the moment and the journey and knowing that there really aren't any guarantees. And I think that's been a big point of focus for us.
Well, Wendy, I appreciate the time as always. Tell Matt I said hi. And
I will.
And stay healthy and safe, and best of luck to you and the Bulldogs going forward as we rapidly approach the postseason. I appreciate the time as always.
Yes, thank you so much, and thanks for having us.
Take care. Wendy McCaskill, really good interview. Knows her stuff. Has been very successful as a coach out of Palisade. Appreciate her coming on the program today. All right, Scott Sullivan, Colorado Mesa men's golf coach, will join us in a few minutes. Talk about the Maverick golf team. And we're going to talk a little tournament with Scott Sullivan coming up in just a few minutes.
You're going to like it.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, we're waiting.
We're waiting. The world needs ditch diggers.
You know, I see that every once in a while this take will come up. There's no plot to that movie.
Not really.
Oh, there's just the big. There's the big tournament strung together.
It's the unofficial tournament between, you know, Chevy Chase and Ted Knott at the end of it.
There's really no plot.
Not really. That's what makes it great.
It's a great movie, though.
Okay.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Okay, first down. NFL players need to not talk about the Deshaun Watson situation.
Oh,
he needs to stop. Like Devontae Harris with the Baltimore Ravens. He tweeted that the allegations against Deshaun Watson that he's facing are questionable. He also shared his belief that the women aren't telling the truth. He said that these 22 women are making it harder for, in his words, actual victims to come forward. But what if these women are actual victims, Devontae? I just think, man.
How would he know?
You just need to stop talking.
Yeah.
Don't talk about this stuff at this point in time.
Who needs that many massage therapists anyway?
I know. I just, it's like, wow. I get it. He's an NFL quarterback, but come on, dude. Come on. All right. Second down. This is not good. Former NFL player Phillip Adams was a gunman in a South Carolina shooting. Adams, the man who shot and killed five people, including a well-known doctor, Adams then shot himself and committed suicide early Thursday morning. Played for the Jets. An awful, horrible, horrible story coming out of the NFL.
Justin Fields is having a second pro day. Is this a good idea? After the explosion of positivity from his last pro day?
Don't you just say back
for another season, right?
Yeah. Don't you just go, okay, did great people.
Yeah.
Positive workout, just leave it alone.
Yep.
I wouldn't do it again.
I wouldn't do another one. Also, last night, after finding out that her baby boy was leading off, Garrett Hampson's mom texted him to be aggressive with 2 exclamation points. Should the Rockies now set up a text chain between the moms to help motivate their players on the daily basis?
Seemed like it worked for Garrett last night, right?
Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
have the moms get out there and, you know, get behind their boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Extra exclamation points.
Scott Sullivan, Colorado Mesa golf coach, will join us to talk about his Mavericks and also the Masters. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 8:45. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. Who's your pick to win the Masters? Like your thoughts on that today. Text us or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Coming up in a little bit, Tina Snover with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Their Night of Champions coming up for the Valley and also for Montrose very, very soon. So we'll be joined by her and also a former Nebraska standout and Super Bowl champion, Prince Amakimura. He'll be coming up top of next hour. Right now, time to talk some golf. And with us, the head coach of the Colorado Mesa men's golf team, Scott Sullivan. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you?
Doing fine. Before we talk Masters, I want your thoughts about who's going to win. Let's talk about your golf team. You guys just got back from Goodyear, Arizona. Your team playing at the tied for sixth place at the Palm Valley Golf Club this past week. But I tell you what, overall, I have to be pretty happy with how your guys played. Peter Grossenbacher, in particular, played really well, finished in a tie for seventh at that tournament at Goodyear.
Yeah, Peter did really well. He's been doing great this year. He's really put in a lot of hard work, and it's paying off. And you know, Jim, I keep saying we're really young. I've got, you know, two of our guys were redshirt freshmen, and two true freshmen. So all out of the four guys, they were the guys that posted all of the 12 scores that we had for the three tournament rounds. So you know, just really excited about those guys. They're starting to get comfortable. And you know, it was disappointing. We were second alone after the first day of 36 holes, and it was hot as heck. And you know, then we really had a rough round that third round the on Tuesday, the second day. But you know, we started talking about this is why you work so hard. This is why we're in the weight room. This is why we're doing things. And you know, they're starting to get the idea that They don't. They belong, and it's not. You know, they're going to the next level, and it's really cool to see the growth, because now they're thinking about what do we have to do to win, and you know we're getting pretty close.
And I think in the case of Peter, like you said, your team was in second after that first round. Peter, though, he finished really strong. He finished the 4 under 212, just a stroke off a top five finish. So it was a really good finish for Peter Grossenbacher.
It was great. And, you know, we've been talking about, he's just a fiery personality, and I can identify with that quite a bit. And you know, golf, you have to be very even keel. You know, that ferocity you can use to improve yourself, and you can use it in the weight room, but you've got to be even keel and unemotional when it comes to playing in competition. And he's really starting to grasp that. And, you know, I'm so proud of him. He's worked really hard, and he deserves everything he's getting.
Colorado Mesa men's golf coach Scott Sullivan with us on the Team Sports Network. You also had Ethan Bishop, who finished in a tie for 16th. And so Ethan finishing with a top 20 finish for your golf team.
Yeah, Ethan's really coming along. I'm really proud of him. He too is a redshirt freshman like Peter. Those two, you know, I took them aside a year ago and told them, you know, you're going to be our leaders off into the future. And, you know, just really proud of those two. And then Pablo Diaz, a true freshman. He didn't travel in the fall at all, but he's delivered the last two tournaments in the spring. And, you know, he's really starting to become comfortable. So, you know, we're young, and it's really fun to see the growth and to be able to coach these guys and, you know, start talking about it's time for us to start winning.
16th-ranked CSU Pueblo won that tournament. You get a chance to see them once again coming up on Monday over at the Pueblo Country Club. It's the Southern Colorado Masters. So a chance to see the Thunderwolves on the course again.
Yes, and so they're going to host the regional tournament next year at Pueblo Country Club. So this will be a chance for us to get out there and see the course and compete, of course. And you know, we're wanting to hold our current ranking. The NCAA ranking came out last Friday, and it'll come out for three more Fridays. So the second call will be tomorrow. And then we'll have a third a week from Friday, and then 2 weeks from tomorrow will be the final call and the bid. And we were in the top 11, and we need to be. It was all in alphabetical order, so there was no ranking. Just because I think because of COVID, they just decided they weren't going to rank, you know, 1 to 8. But we need to be in the top 8, and you know, we think we're going to be there. So we just need to play well in Pueblo, and then we have the conference championship that we'll leave for a week from Saturday.
Scott Sullivan, Colorado Mesa golf coach with us. Scott, we'll change gears from your golf team to what's going on right now at Augusta National. The Masters underway, and Abraham Anser currently has the lead very early on at the Masters, but Dustin Johnson won the green jacket in November, which seems weird to say that he won the green jacket in November, but he's the defending champion. He returns. A lot of people like the way Jordan Spieth's playing. A lot of the, you know, the wise guys in Vegas like Spieth to maybe win the Masters. Give us the Scott Sullivan breakdown of this year's Masters.
Well, I like DJ. Dustin Johnson, you know, I mean, he's just he's the number one in the world, and just a great player. You know, Bryson DeChambeau is intriguing, and I think our guys tend to embrace the weight room more because of guys like Bryson DeChambeau and what he's doing in golf and just how far he's hitting it. You know, Justin Thomas won the Players, and you know, I like Jordan Spieth too, but It's really tough to win 2 weeks in a row. It's tough to win on the PGA Tour. But, you know, I think those four guys, you know, really have a good chance. You know, you look at this, I think there's 88 in the field. And with the former champions, a lot of them being old guys like me, you know, they really get out there and compete, but they really don't have a chance to win. And, you know, and then there's amateurs and so forth, and I think people don't realize that this field is like reduced 50% from a regular PGA Tour event. And then as a practical matter, you know, there's probably 30, 40 guys that really only have a chance to win. So it's really a condensed field, but, you know, those are the four guys I like.
Scott Sullivan, Colorado Mesa Golf Coach, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Okay, I've got my money in Brooks Koepka. Am I crazy?
No, except I know. Yeah, I saw him last night on the Golf Channel. He was kind of working his knee a little bit, so I think he still might be injured a little bit. So that's the only concern with Brooks. But I love Brooks Koepka, and he too. He and Dustin Johnson, you know, they're in the weight room, and you know, I think that really inspires my guys to get in the weight room as well.
I had a weird pull towards Colin Morikawa for this weekend. What do you think?
Oh man, that guy's swing is just pure, and his irons are great, which, you know, you need to do everything well at Augusta, but he is such a good iron player, and just a good young man, and you know, I think he's just got a tremendous future. And I wouldn't be surprised if he won.
Hey Scott, we appreciate the time today. Best of luck to you and the Maverick Golf Team coming up.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Always good talking to you. Take care, Scott.
Thank you. You too.
All right, Scott Sullivan.
Even though I picked him, I would be shocked if Colin Morikawa won because I know nothing about golf. I know I'm not very good at it.
I'm right there with you on that part of it. I've had moments, right? I've had moments where
one shot where I'm like, I could play this the rest of my life.
Right.
Then I have to go follow it up.
It's like I played in a chamber scramble with some of the guys from here one year out at Redlands Mesa.
Yeah.
And actually played, and I hadn't played in a long time, and actually played okay because I just wasn't thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some nice props from the boss. And it's kind of like the pro day for Justin Fields. I said right there,
that's it.
I'm never going to play with him again. I'm done. I'm going to leave the impression that I'm not too bad.
Yeah.
Because I managed
leave on to put, a good shot.
I managed to, you know, come up with some pretty good shots that day. I think as a team, we might have finished like in the top, on our flight over, like in the top five or whatever.
Nice.
So I'm not right there. I'm done. That's it. Because the next time, I think we went out and played for the Mesa baseball tournament out at Adobe Creek, and I sucked. Wasn't very good.
Yeah, one of us ran over ourselves
and that would have been you.
Yeah.
You ran over yourself with the golf cart. Abraham Answer with the lead right now. He's 2-under at the Masters. We'll take a break and we'll come back with hour three on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader, online at thetheam1340.com.